Of all the bad things that could happen with this bill, three of them that I think would captivate most of the interest in America are, number one, the gas prices. I think Senator Alexander will tell you that with the mandated supply cap, that would increase the cost of gas by 53 cents. The analyses all are in about that same range. The second area is in just this would be the largest single tax increase in the history of the country. This is they're using their own figures, it'd be $6.7 trillion with a maximum giving back over the life of this bill of 2.5. That leaves $4.2 trillion. And if you analyze that and see what it is state to state, in my state of Oklahoma, according to CRA, Charles Rivers Associates, it would be $3,300 tax increase each year to my people in the state of Oklahoma. And lastly, I'm sure they'll be talking about the jobs, but just look at it logically. If we have a bill that only applies to the United States of America, and we want, and so people, we ration energy here, the jobs have to go someplace. It's been 30 years since we've had a new coal-fired generating plant online, and the Chinese are cranking out two every week. So it goes right back to supply and demand.
That's U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe. He's the ranking member of the Environment and Public Works Committee, and he's reminding us that while they're running around on Capitol Hill subscribing to the Chicken Little worldview, that the sky is falling, literally, if you listen to some of the environmentalists up there, Americans don't have a clue on how much this is going to cost us in a myriad of ways, and the good senator just gave us three tax increases. What's going to happen to the cost of gasoline and jobs? What will happen to jobs in America? Senator Inhofe joins us now. Senator, thank you very much for your leadership on this, and thank you also for your participation recently in our We Get It campaign. It was wonderful to hear you.
Janet, that was really neat. One of my concerns has been for a long time is if ever the far left and their environmental agenda could infiltrate and get into the evangelical community and get them to trade our core values, the abortions, the gays, all this stuff, for this environmental agenda, you know, they would really, and they came real close to doing it, but thanks to you and a lot of people that you had at that news conference that you put together just a month ago, that was brilliant. And so I applaud you. You're the hero.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Well, your leadership on these committees is amazing because what you're really doing is you're pushing back a little bit, saying, give us sound science. Before you want us to build public policy, let's make sure it's predicated on peer-reviewed, well-scrutinized science. What we're getting is a political agenda that masquerades itself as good science.
Well, it is. And, of course, like most bad things that start in this country come from the same place, the United Nations, and that's where this came from. And they have a hidden agenda, and they have the National Academy of Sciences with them. They were with them in the 70s when they said another ice age was coming, and we're all going to be frozen to death. And you know, but what their motive here is just to kill this machine called America. And you know, let me tell you, I've never been more pleased than I am right now. We should be celebrating the good news. The good news is that last Friday we killed this thing.
That's right.
Now, hopefully they'll bring it up again. I'd love to have this on the floor 8 hours a day to tell the American people what the Democrats are trying to do by raising their taxes. The $6.7 trillion tax increase over the life of the bill. Janet, that's not my figure. That's the Democrats' figure. And then Barbara, to sit there, and of course I was on the floor three whole days with her, and that's heavy lifting, but when she said, no, that's not true, and this is really a tax decrease, you know, by the time you net out the maximum amount that if she wanted to send back to the people, it would still be a $4.2 trillion tax increase. And but the good news is this. Did you know that the most votes she had to pass the bill were 45? Mm-hmm. We have 12 Democrat senators who voted, let me count, yeah, 10 Democrat senators who voted on the motion to proceed to the, you know, she had their vote for a procedural vote, but they said they would oppose it on final passage. Now you take out Bob Byrd, who said he was going to oppose it. She only has 44 votes out there. That is great. And then the last thing I want to bring up that I'm celebrating about is you might recall in 2005, I was leading the opposition to the McCain-Lieberman bill. It was a very similar bill, but not quite as bad as this. In a five-day period, the most senators who came down, Republican senators to help me, were two. Only two came down. This time, in 3 days, 25 came down opposing a cap-and-trade scheme. And I'm just very proud of the courage that's shown by Republicans.
Exactly. But part of that courage, I think, comes because of your leadership, sir. You have steadfastly said, wait a minute, just crunch the numbers here. It's a lot of real good political theater to say, look what we're doing to protect the environment. But at the same time, what you're not telling the average American is it's going to hurt real bad at the gas pump. It could take your job away. And wait till you see what this does to your pocketbook.
And you know, I'll tell you something you have. The committee has a website. And it's have your people write this down and pull this up. It's called EPW. That stands for Environment Public Works. EPW.Senate.gov. Is that right, Mark? Is that what it is? Yeah. And pull it up. When you pull it up, you have a choice of me or Bob or Boxer. Take me. And then that should come easy to you, Janet.
All right.
And then we have a list of bills that have been that were introduced and considered since 1995. Every time the Republicans tried to increase the supply of either supply of energy, supply of gas, supply of refining capacity, it goes down 100% down party lines. Now, I don't expect people to believe me when I say that, so pull this up. It documents all these votes. I even made a presentation to the Republican conference today documenting these votes. So you look at this in two ways. One is, who's at fault as to where we are now? Clearly, it's a very basic concept of supply and demand. Right. And since 1995, Democrats have stopped us from having a supply, whether it's exploring on Anwar or offshore or coal shale or any of the supplies that we have out there. And it goes right down party lines. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows that. Now, we can go from here forward, and if we recognize that, the gas price bill, which was mine, is one that would increase capacity. I think I mentioned that on the recording that you played before I came on.
Mm-hmm.
That's something no one should have opposed, because that merely takes the closed military bases, and it gives the local communities something to do with them. They can put a refinery there, and the EDA can give them grants. Oh, it really is. And they don't have to clean it up. The government saves a lot of money because they don't have to clean it up to playground standards. They can clean it up to refinery standards and start refining this stuff.
A fabulous idea. You know, again, talk about political theater. So the Democrats have now said that they have a good political issue, and that the Republicans, by a procedural move today, said, what, you're not going to let us tax the profits of the big oil manufacturers out there. America is the third largest producer of oil, and yet we haven't built a refinery in how long? And it's sitting there in Alaska waiting for us to get it.
It is there, but it's more than just Alaska. The shale out in western Colorado, the tar sands that we're able to go after. In my state of Oklahoma, this might get a little bit heavy here, but I talked about it on the floor. We have marginal production. We're the largest marginal producing state. Now, marginal well is 15 barrels or less a day.
Hmm.
Now, that doesn't sound like very much, but when you add them all up, if we had all of the marginal wells flowing today that have been closed in the last 10 years because of the volatility of the price, it would equal more than we're currently importing from Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
So we have huge opportunities out there, and it doesn't take any time to bring it in. We could pass these things today and really start. And, of course, the market would respond to the fact that we're going to increase supplies, and that would have an immediate positive effect.
Exactly. So let me ask you, Senator, because we're watching these record increases on the cost of a gallon of gasoline. Everybody knows it hurts. Everybody knows it could get a lot worse before it's over. And it does go to the question of supply and demand, and it does take in the idea that it's a commodity. So what can government do? Because government doesn't set the price. The market sets the price.
Well, every time government tries to set the price, and in this particular case it was true, too, when we did it, it has the effect of increasing it, not decreasing it. And if you try to pass windfall profit taxes, when I hear Barbara Boxer and all of them railing on the floor, it's all, you know, a class argument. About all the profits they're making. If you took all the profits that are not put back into exploring, it would affect it even in today's market by 14 cents. But they would have you believe this has something to do with the very large increases. You can't do that. This is still America. We still have choices. And we just understand some basic economic principles. Supply and demand will work in this case. And, you know, it goes far beyond just petroleum, because we have a machine to run in America, and it takes nuclear. We need to really. One of the arguments that Boxer and company had on the floor last week was, well, if we there is an organization that says that this wouldn't really cost every family in Oklahoma $3,300 a year, it'd be far less than that. But that assumption was made on 104 new nuclear plants. And the very few people, the very people who were for this bill last week are the ones who oppose nuclear. So we need nuclear, we need coal, clean coal technology, we need wind and all the renewables, and we need oil and gas to run this machine called America.
Absolutely. And we also need a real strong bipartisan effort here. And as long as this gets turned into political theater, Americans are going to continue to see more heartache, not less heartache.
Yeah, I think we're out of that right now. You know, I just love some of the follow-up articles. The Wall Street Journal says this issue is starting to feel like Hillary healthcare, and it is. And, you know, one thing you and I haven't mentioned is the job end of this thing.
Yes.
Sometimes you look back and just take a deep breath and look at just what does logic dictate to you. It says that if we don't have energy in America, and we can't run our right now, many of our manufacturing jobs have already left. And they've said that if this bill passed, that would increase that number by 9.5% of all the manufacturing jobs in America. Now, if that happens, where are they going to go? They're going to go where there's energy. And where there's energy, as he said in the quote that came out of the off the floor, is countries like China, where they're cranking out every twice a week a new coal-fired generating plant. They don't have any emission controls there, so you would actually have an increase in the CO2 in the air if we were to pass this bill and force these jobs overseas or down to Mexico or to India.
Which is supposed to be exactly the opposite direction they say they want to go in.
Well, that's what they say, but all they talk about is renewables. Now, we have another bill on the floor right now that is going to be considered, I guess. It's the Democrat energy plan. There is no energy in it. Nothing but looking down the road and seeing what we can do 20 years from now to keep people from using energy.
Wow. Senator, thank you so much, not only for your time, because I know you've got a very full calendar today, but thank you so much, sir, for your leadership. You have saved Americans a lot of heartache. Thank you for your continued vision for America when it comes to jobs, to watch over our pocketbook, and to make sure we're not getting real hurt at the gas pump. You're very appreciated, sir. We appreciate, again, Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, ranking member of the Environment and Public Works Committee.